To my scattered Israelite kinsmen and women across the world, greetings in the name of Yeshua Messiah. May the divine influence be with you. This is part 8 of all the verses on grace and mercy. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Grace and mercy is found in the Word Studies menu. We left off in part 7 in Ezekiel and continue with chapter 16. Chapter 16 is a parallel to Jeremiah chapter 2. Much of the sin in Jerusalem is due to the people allowing themselves to be infiltrated by the Hittites and Canaanites, which are the Jews, and other cursed seed tribes. In Deuteronomy 7 and 12 are the warnings that Israel received that they were to destroy the peoples of the Canaanites and their idols, and not to be ensnared by them. Exodus 23:33 warns, "They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me." The same thing happened again here in America. Look who sits in all the seats of authority and owns and runs everything. Hittite, cursed, seed, Sheeny Jews. Judgment upon Israel for race mixing, Ezekiel 16:1. Again the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, "Son of Adam, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus says Yahweh Elohim unto Jerusalem, Your birth and your nativity is of the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite, and your mother a Hittite." Yahweh is calling them Canaanites and Edomites because of their practices. Verse 4, "As for your," speaking of Israel's, "nativity, in the day you were born, and your umbilical cord was not cut, neither were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not salted at all, nor swaddled at all." Salt is a cleansing agent. Salt is a preservative. Salt is symbolic of loyalty and uprightness. Salt in the New Testament comes from the Greek word halas, figuratively prudence, wisdom applied to practice. Verse 5, "No eye pitied you to do any of these unto you, to have compassion or mercy upon you, but you was cast out in the open field to the loathing of your person in the day that you was born." This was signifying the wicked bringing forth or giving birth to iniquity. Ezekiel 20:23. "I lifted up my hand, as an oath, unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the nations and disperse them through the countries, because they have not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, and has polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their fathers' idols. Wherefore I gave them up to statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live." Speaking of being given over to the laws of the land where they were dispersed that were not good for them. Verse 26, "And I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, that I might make them desolate, to the end that they might know that I am Yahweh." The phrase "pass through the fire" is referring to the Canaanite Jew sacrificial rituals where children are offered to Baal, the Lord, by being thrown in the fire. The womb is also symbolic of compassions. Yahweh hates when his children are sacrificed by fire, and today by Jewish child ritual sacrifice and abortion. Ezekiel 24:13, "In your filthiness is unchastity, because I have purged you, and you was not purged. You shall not be purged from your filthiness any more, till I have caused my fury to rest upon you. I, Yahweh, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare or pardon. Neither will I relent or change my mind, According to your ways, and according to your doings, shall they judge you, says Yahweh Elohim. The first purge was by the Assyrians, which took the 10-tribed house of Israel, as well as most of Judah. Jerusalem was spared because of Hezekiah's reforms, and the people repented. But that didn't last, because a half a spanking does not teach a lesson. The Babylonians were sent to finish the spanking. Ezekiel 36:21. But I had pity, or compassion, for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus says Yahweh Elohim, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. Ezekiel 39:24. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Therefore, thus says Yahweh Elohim, now will I restore the captives of Jacob, and have mercy, or compassion, upon the whole house of Israel, and will be zealous for my holy name, after that they have borne their shame, and all their trespasses whereby they have committed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid. They trespassed until there was no remedy. They were punished and destroyed, and only the ones that accepted their punishment, repented and returned to him, were shown compassion. In Ezekiel, we see that mean old God of the Old Testament that the churches fear, thinking that he is only all about love now. Ignorant to the fact that the same thing is going on today, the warning signs and the coming judgment, but they trust their Jewish Jesus and believed that they are saved already and will escape tribulation and judgment because they're under grace. Note, H26:17, chesed, which is loving commitment, was not used once in Ezekiel. We see that Yahweh was all about judgment and destruction upon his people, the city, and his temple, because they were all defiled by idols and race mixing. He showed no mercy to the ungodly, but he did preserve his lovingly committed ones who repented and trusted in his house cleaning, and were allowed to return after the 70 years of punishment. Daniel 1:9. Now Elohim had brought Daniel into favor, or loving commitment, and tender love, or deep compassion, with the prince of the eunuchs of Babylon. Daniel was lovingly committed to Yahweh, and because of it he found favor by the eunuchs and king of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar erected a golden image and commanded that all people should fall down and worship it. Daniel's companions refused to comply and were thrown into a fiery furnace. However, they were miraculously preserved by the son of Elohim in the flames, and this was acknowledged by the king himself, who decreed that henceforth no one should say anything against the Elohim of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Similarly, we find that to succeed in this world, everyone must bow before the power of money, as represented by gold, and to similar man-made institutions. Those who refuse to conform must suffer, but it is a fact that Christ stands with his people in their fiery trials. The prayer of Azariah, who is Abednego. Yet deliver us not up wholly for thy name's sake, neither disannul you your covenant, and cause not your mercy, or loving commitment, to depart from us, for your beloved Abraham's sake, for your servant Isaac's sake, and for your holy Israel's sake, to whom you have spoken and promised, that you would multiply their seed as the stars of the sky, and as the sand that lies upon the seashore. For we, O Yahweh, are become less than any nation, and be kept under this day in all the world because of our sins. Neither is there at this time prince, or prophet, or leader, or burnt offering, or sacrifice, or oblation, or incense, or place, to sacrifice before you, and to find mercy, or compassion. O Ananias, Azarias, and Misael, bless you Yahweh. Praise and exalt him above all forever, for he has delivered us from hell, and saved us from the hand of death, and delivered us out of the midst of the furnace and burning flame. Even out of the midst of the fire has he delivered us. O give thanks unto Yahweh, because he is gracious, for his mercy, or loving commitment, endures forever. O all you that worship Yahweh, bless the Elohim of gods. Praise him, and give him thanks, for his mercy, or loving commitment, endures forever. Now that's how you receive mercy. Daniel 9:3. And I set my face unto Yahweh Elohim, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting, and sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed unto Yahweh, my Elohim, and made my confession, and said, O Yahweh, the great and awesome Elohim, keeping the covenant and mercy, or loving commitment, to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from your commandments and your judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto your servants the prophets, which spake in your name to our kings, our officers, and our forefathers, and to all the people of the land. To Yahweh, our Elohim, belong mercies, or deep compassions, and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of Yahweh our Elohim, to walk in his laws which he set before us by his servants, the prophets, as it is written in the Torah of Moses, all this calamity is come upon us. Yet we made not our prayer before Yahweh our Elohim, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore has Yahweh watched upon the calamity and brought it upon us. For Yahweh our Elohim is righteous in all the works which he does, for we obeyed not his voice. O my Elohim, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications, or supplication for favor, before you for our righteousnesses, but for your great mercies, or deep compassions. The Septuagint ends as, for we do not bring our pitiful case before you on the ground of our righteousness, but on the ground of your manifold compassions, O Yahweh. Verse 20, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication, or supplication for favor, before Yahweh my Elohim for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the same time of the evening grain offering. Gabriel showed Daniel the vision of the 70 weeks prophecy, which in a nutshell included the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the end of the priesthood and its sacrifices and ordinances, the end of sin atonement by blood sacrifice, that Messiah shall atone for your sins, and not some priest or ritual, the bringing in of everlasting righteousness, which is justice according to his laws, and to the prophecies of the first advent to be ratified, and the anointing of the Most Holy One, which was done by Mary. Mercy was shown to those who were lovingly committed to Yahweh during their captivity. They were even favored by the Babylonians and were promoted to important positions. Again, we see that by prayer, repentance, and obedience, Yahweh keeps his loving commitment with his lovingly committed ones. Hosea was a countryman. Hosea was a tender-hearted man, and so often the true countryman is. He was a man of the northern kingdom of Israel. Hosea was a lovingly committed one to his kinsmen and to Yahweh. Hosea symbolized that which was being enacted on a national scale in the life of his countrymen in the kingdom of Israel. In the Song of Solomon, the people of Israel stood in the relationship of wife to Yahweh, betrothed, married, faithless, and divorced as a result of that faithlessness. Also, that the prophetical books take up the story and foretell her re-betrothal. Here, in the life of Hosea, we have a complete symbolism of that picture. Hosea 1, verse 2. The beginning of the word of Yahweh by Hosea. And Yahweh said to Hosea, Go, take unto you a wife of whoredoms, or improper foreign relations, and children of whoredoms, improper foreign relations. For the land has committed great whoredom, or international religious fornication, departing from Yahweh. Whoredoms comes from several Hebrew words. Depending on which one is used in the context, they can mean play the harlot, prostitution, adultery, fornication, idolatry, infidelity, unfaithfulness to Yahweh, international religious fornication, improper foreign relations, improper religious fornication. This is all about idolatry, which always includes the worship of foreign gods, illicit sex, interracial sex, child sacrifice, and every other abomination that Yahweh hates. Basically, today's society. So Hosea went and took Gomer, which means completion, and represents the old kingdom which had overflowed with sin. Gomer's father, Diblaim, which means two cakes, represents the houses of Judah and Israel. The son Gomer bare was Jezreel, which means God sows. This son represents a sign of their return to Yahweh in the latter days. Hosea 1:6, And she conceived again, and bare a daughter. And Elohim said unto him, Call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy, or compassion, upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Lo-Ruhamah means no mercy, or uncompassionated. The house of Israel had been much further into apostasy than the house of Judah. Israel was told through the prophet that they would be utterly taken away. The Assyrians had already been taking away and resettling other nations, and the Assyrian threat to the sovereignty of Israel was already evident. Verse 7. But I will have mercy, or compassion, upon the house of Judah, and will save them by Yahweh their Elohim, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Israel would be carried away, as well as most of Judah. The Assyrians carried away 46 fenced cities of Judah, many thousands of its people along with Israel. However, the inhabitants of Jerusalem were not taken, and the kingdom remained intact in spite of losing many of its cities. Judah would be preserved from the Assyrian conquests because of Hezekiah's reforms. Hosea's second child, Ruhamah, was a mercy sign to the royal house of Judah. Hosea's third child, Lo-Ami, was a sign of the disappearance, even of the name by which Yahweh's people had been known. Lo-Ami means, not my people. This is a prophecy of the children of Israel, that they would not be considered to be the children of Yahweh any longer, not because Yahweh was disclaiming them, but because they were cast off in punishment. The gospel message was the good news that they were his people. In their migrations into the empire, and then into Europe, they had forgotten their heritage, who they were, and whose they were. Hence, the lost sheep. Ami means my people, and Rica means plenteous land. Hence, America, the regathering place of all 12 tribes. Hosea 2:1. Say unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruama, which means compassion. Ami is my people, and Ruama is to have mercy. We are not continuing from the last verse of chapter 1 here. Rather, the end of chapter 1 looks to the future reconciliation of Yahweh and Israel, which cannot happen until the first coming of Christ, which was not done with weapons. Israel is being divorced by Yahweh here. Here in chapter 2, the focus shifts back to Hosea's own time, where the final warnings are issued to Israel, the wife of Yahweh, concerning her adultery. Verse 2, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms, or improper foreign relations with alien gods, out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like as dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy, or compassion, upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms, or improper foreign relations with alien gods. Because Israel went after other peoples and their gods, Yahweh punished them. But because of H 26:17, Kesed, the promise made with Abraham, Yahweh will not totally destroy all Israel, but will show loving commitment by preserving them wherever they went. Verse 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her, and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her. The wilderness of Europe was unsettled. Verse 16, and it shall be at that day, says Yahweh, that you shall call me Ishi, and call me no more Baali, meaning the Lord. For I will take away the names of Baalim out of her mouth, that they shall no more be remembered by their name. What do the 33,000 so-called Christian denominations call Yahweh? Baal, or the Lord. Verse 19, and I will betroth you unto me forever, yea, I will betroth you unto me in righteousness, and in justice, and in loving kindness, or loving commitment, and in mercies, or deep compassions. Verse 23, and I will sow her unto me in the land, and I will have mercy, or compassion, upon her that hath not obtained mercy, or compassion. And I will say unto them which were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my Elohim. So, as by the sign of the adulterous and restored wife, representing an Adamic people, I will sow her unto me in the land. So, by the sign of the sun, Jezreel, they, which were not my people, shall say, you are my Elohim. We see that the ultimate victory of Yahweh's love, or loving commitment, and forgiveness to those to whom he stands, in that closest of all relationships, husband and father. Thus, once again, Yahweh's relationship to national Israel as an entity and to individual Israelites is revealed. Hosea 4:1. Hear the word of Yahweh, you children of Israel. For Yahweh has a legal case with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, or loving commitment, nor knowledge of Elohim in the land. A famine in the land, then and today, a famine of loving commitment in our people, then and today. Then they knew they were worshiping other gods and didn't care. Today, our people believe they are worshiping Yahweh when they are not and don't even know it. They are going to be gnashing some teeth when they realize Jesus was not Jewish, that they are not saved, and there's no rapture, and they disqualified themselves from mercy and grace, which is loving commitment, which they did not give to Yahweh. They gave it to Jaime Jesus. Mercy, H26:17, loving commitment, and truth are used 21 times together. Every time, it is connecting the children of Jacob with mercy and truth. It matters what we believe. Lovingly committed ones of the seed of Jacob receive loving commitment from Yahweh. Hosea 6:1. Come, let us return unto Yahweh, for he has torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. In chapter 6 is given a remarkable 3-day period. It follows the passage in which Yahweh's favor is declared to be withdrawn, Hosea 5:6. Verse 4, Yahweh speaking, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto you? O Judah, what shall I do unto you? For your goodness, or loving commitment, is as a morning cloud, and as early dew it goes away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are as the light that goes forth. For I desired mercy, or loving commitment, and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, or loving commitment. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek Yahweh, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because you did trust in your way, in the multitude of your mighty men. Hosea 12:3. He, speaking of Jacob, took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with Elohim. The Hebrew ends verse 3 as, and by his manly vigor he overcame with an Elohim, a divine messenger, which is why Yahweh changed his name to Israel. Verse 4, yea, he had power over the messenger and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him, or sought his favor. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, Yahweh is his memorial. Therefore, turn you to your Elohim, keep mercy, or loving commitment, and justice, and wait on your Elohim continually. Again, the two great commandments from Matthew 22:38, here in the Old Testament. Have loving commitment to your Elohim and to your brethren. Only then shall you receive loving commitment. Chapter 14 starts here in the Hebrew. Hosea 14:1. Samaria, the northern kingdom of Israel, shall become desolate, or be held guilty, for she has rebelled against her Elohim. They shall fall by the sword, their infants shall be dashed into pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. This is an immediate prophecy concerning the house of Israel and its destruction at the hands of the Assyrians. Verse 2, O Israel, return unto Yahweh your Elohim, for you have fallen by your iniquity. Take with you words, and return to Yahweh. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously, or favorably. So we will render the calves of our lips, or we will give praise as a sacrifice. The Septuagint Greek has the Hebrew word for calves metaphorically as fruit. The phrase may have a double meaning, referring also to the calves, which were the idols in Israel, that if Yahweh were to remove the iniquity, his people were also to remove the idolatry from their mouths. Verse 4, Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the works of our hands, meaning their idols. You are our gods. For in you, speaking of Yahweh, the fatherless findeth mercy, or compassion. Idols have no power to grant either salvation or mercy, neither does Jewish Jesus. In Hosea, Yahweh has lifted his compassion and mercy from the house of Israel because of their international and foreign relations and idolatry, but that because of his promise to Abraham and his loving commitment to the seed of Jacob, he provides a path back to him after the punishment is dealt. The prophecies of our people being regathered are told in an allegory with Hosea's children, who represent Israel and Judah, and how they lost their identity as Yahweh's people, but were promised reconciliation, compassion, and merciful loving commitment. That Yahweh desires loving commitment and true knowledge of him instead of sacrifice and worthless offerings. We see that mercy and grace are still exclusively with the lovingly committed Israelites. Joel 2:11, And Yahweh shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word. For the day of Yahweh is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, says Yahweh, turn you even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and return unto Yahweh your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, or compassionate, slow to anger, and of great kindness, or loving commitment, and it grieves him of the harm. Even in their destruction, Yahweh shall have mercy and compassion upon his people if they repent. The call for them to rend their hearts and not their garments is a call to sincere repentance and not a mere lip service. There will be no defense against the invaders, for Yahweh has already passed judgment, and the destruction of the kingdom is certain. Only a repentant heart and a willful turn in obedience to Elohim shall determine their survival. In the book of Joel, mercy requires a call to repentance and a change of ways and mind, to return to Yahweh with loving commitment. Amos 1:11. Thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, or all compassion, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the places of Bozrah. The Canaanite and Edomite Jews have a perpetual hatred and anger for the children of Israel. The Edomites are Esau's children, whom are half-brothers with the satanic line of Cain. Yahweh said in Genesis that the seed of the usurper and the seed of the woman will always have enmity with each other. That is why he will always favor us with his loving commitment if we remain in his ways and go not in the ways of Cain and Esau. Amos 5:14. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so Yahweh, the Elohim of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish justice in the gate, it may be that Yahweh Elohim of hosts will be gracious, or merciful, unto the remnant of Joseph. Yahweh is chastising those in Israel who have committed evils, and those who seek good are to oppose them as well. We are to abhor wickedness and judge it in the gate, which means before it enters. We clearly see in Amos that the children of Jacob are the vessels fit for mercy, and the children of Esau are the vessels fit for destruction, because they show no mercy, and because there is no compassion in devils. Jonah 2:8. They that observe lying vanities, or idols, or false worthlessnesses, or lies, forsake their own mercy, or loving commitment. Boom! How about that verse for the churches? Let me translate that in Judeo language. You Judeos and 33,000 so-called Christian denominations that are observing lies and believing false doctrine are forsaking your own mercy. You are forsaking your free, loving commitment from Yahweh for a Jewish Jesus. The king of Nineveh, once he heard Jonah's warning, evidently took it to heart and issued a proclamation demanding that his entire kingdom repent from any and all wickedness. Jonah 4:1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto Yahweh and said, I pray you, O Yahweh, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that you are gracious, Elohim, and merciful, or compassionate, slow to anger, and of great kindness, or loving commitment, and repentest you, or relented, or changed your mind, of the harm or punishment. Jonah was angry that Yahweh did not destroy Nineveh. Why? It is during this very time that Assyria, having arisen as a great empire, began to threaten the existence of Israel and Judah as sovereign states. As Jonah went out of the city to see what would happen, Yahweh made a gourd grow up over his head to deliver him from his grief, and he was glad for it. Then Yahweh had a worm destroy it. When the sun rose and it beat upon Jonah, he wished to die. Verse 9. And Elohim said to Jonah, Do you well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said Yahweh, You have had pity on the gourd, for the which you have not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night, and perished in a night. And should not I spare, or pardon, Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? There were in Nineveh 120,000 Adamic people who knew not the difference between what was good and what was evil. Assyria represented the gourd that sheltered Jonah and then withered. The Assyrians were a judgment from Yahweh upon Israel to punish them and spare the ones that repented and returned to Yahweh. The Assyrians were afterwards conquered by the Babylonians. In Jonah, the people of Nineveh were Assyrians, descendants of Asher, the son of Shem. They were racial kinsmen with the Israelites. That's why the repentant children of Asher received mercy. Micah 6:6. Micah speaking, Wherewith shall I come before Yahweh, and bow myself before the high Elohim? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O Adam, what is good? And what does Yahweh require of you? But to do justly, and to love mercy, or loving commitment, and to walk humbly with your Elohim. Micah 7:2. The good, or the lovingly committed one, is perished out of the land, and there is none upright among the men of Adam. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. The seeking of wealth in merchandise and trade with alien races, for which Israel was explicitly chastised, leads to a competition, and it also leads to division amongst brethren, which in turn makes the brethren less lovingly committed to their own race. Verse 18, Who is an Elohim like unto you, that pardons and lifts up iniquity, and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy, or loving commitment. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and Yahweh will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercy, or loving commitment, to Abraham, which you have sworn unto our forefathers from the days of old. There it is stated again plainly, the covenant between Yahweh and Abraham. Praise Yahweh that he is true to his word and keeps loving commitment to those that show him loving commitment. Habakkuk 1:12. Habakkuk speaking, Are you not from everlasting, O Yahweh my Elohim, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Yahweh, you have ordained them for judgment, and O mighty Elohim, you have established them for correction. Being corrected, all Israel is not destroyed, but rather should be compelled to do the will of Elohim. Verse 13, You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on iniquity. Wherefore look you upon them that deal treacherously, and hold your tongue when the wicked devours the man that is more righteous than he? Habakkuk pleads for justice against the wicked, and that the nation would not be entirely destroyed, and asks Yahweh why he would permit whatever righteous people are left in Judah to suffer at the hands of the Chaldeans. Verse 14, And make the sons of Adam as the fishes of the sea, meaning gathered as captives, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with a hook, they catch them in their net, and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net, and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net, and not spare continually to slay the nations? The prophet is describing the Chaldeans, who Yahweh said would take away many captives of Judah, and the prophet is asking as to why, because the Chaldeans themselves were idolaters, even worshipping the nets by which they would catch men, that the Babylonians have grew richer in their conquest of other nations, and shall not cease from their pillage. Habakkuk 3:2. O Yahweh, I have heard your report and was afraid. O Yahweh, revive your work in the midst of the years, and in the midst of the years make known. In wrath, remember mercy, or compassion. Revive your work is a reference to Jerusalem being rebuilt following its destruction. Habakkuk understands the coming judgment upon Judah and asks Yahweh to have compassion on his people and Jerusalem and to be merciful. Zechariah 1:12. Then the messenger of Yahweh answered and said, O Yahweh of hosts, how long will you not have mercy, or compassion, on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which you have had indignation these 70 years. The Babylonian captivity was for 70 years, and now that the children of Israel returned to Jerusalem, they were restoring the city and the temple. But these other surrounding heathen nations were against them. Verse 13, And Yahweh answered the messenger that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the messenger that communed with me said unto me, Cry you, saying, Thus says Yahweh of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. Yahweh is jealous when we seek other gods. Verse 15, And I am very sore displeased with the nations that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. The Septuagint reads, And I am very angry with the heathen that combined to attack her, for as much as I indeed was a little angry, but they combined to attack her for evil. The other nations participated in dishing out Israel's punishment. When they were in captivity, the other nations were at ease. When good is refrained, the bad have fun. Verse 16, Therefore thus says Yahweh, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies, or deep compassions. My house shall be built in it, says Yahweh of hosts, and a measuring line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Zechariah 4:7. Who are you, O great mountain? Speaking of Babylon. Before Zerubbabel, a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone, shouting, Grace or favor. Grace or favor unto it. This is a prophecy of the end of the Babylonian Empire and of Zerubbabel laying the foundations of the temple when they return from Babylonian captivity. Zechariah 7:9. Thus speaks Yahweh of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy, or loving commitment, and compassions, or deep compassions, every man to his brother. But they refused to listen and did not practice loving commitment towards their kinsmen. Verse 12, Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the Torah and the words which Yahweh of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from Yahweh of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as he called, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, says Yahweh of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through, nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. The loving commitment of Yahweh is free, but if you don't give it, you won't receive it. Matthew 25:40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, verily, as I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Zechariah 10:6. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy, or compassion, upon them. And they shall be as though I have not cast them off, for I am Yahweh their Elohim, and will hear them. Another prophecy of regathering. Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour upon the house of David, and upon the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, the spirit of grace, or favor, or acceptance, and of supplication, or prayers. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him, as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Christ was of the house of David. The spirit of grace, in every circumstance, is towards Yahweh's children in the earth, the children of Israel. It's free to each Israelite because of the promises made with Abraham. It can't be earned, but you must be doing what you are supposed to be doing to receive it, which is being a lovingly committed one, walking in the way. In Zechariah, mercy is a lesson Yahweh wants his people to learn to be lovingly committed to their brethren. Besides idolatry and race mixing, lack of brotherly love kindled the fire of punishment as well. Yahweh's judgment on Judah was severe, but his mercy and loving commitment did not fail. The spirit of grace comes through Christ, who is a descendant of David and an Israelite of the tribe of Judah, a descendant of Abraham to whom the promise and covenant of loving commitment was made to. Malachi 3:14. You have said, "It is vain to serve Elohim." And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before Yahweh of hosts? And now we call the proud blessed. Yea, they that work wickedness are built up. Yea, they that tempt Elohim are even delivered. Then they that feared Yahweh spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that reverenced Yahweh, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son that serves him. The Septuagint has, and I will make choice of them, as a man makes choice of his son that serves him. 1 Maccabees 3:44. Then was the congregation gathered together, that they might be made ready for battle, and that they might pray and ask mercy and compassion. 1 Maccabees 4:10. Now therefore let us cry unto heaven, if perhaps Yahweh will have mercy upon us, and remember the covenant of our fathers, and destroy this host before our face this day. Verse 24. After this they went home, and sung a song of thanksgiving, and praised Yahweh in heaven, because it is good, because his mercy, or loving commitment, endures forever. 1 Maccabees 13:46. And they said, deal not with us according to our wickedness, but according to your mercy. So Simon was appeased towards them, and fought no more against them, but put them out of the city, and cleansed the houses wherein the idols were, and so entered into it with songs and thanksgiving. Yea, he put all uncleanness out of it, and placed such men there as would keep the law, and made it stronger than it was before, and built thereon a dwelling place for himself. 1 Maccabees 16:3. But now I am old, and you, by God's mercy, are of a sufficient age. Be ye instead of me and my brother, and go and fight for our nation, and the help from heaven be with you. 2 Maccabees 2:7. Which when Jeremiah perceived, he blamed them, saying, as for that place, it shall be unknown until the time that Elohim gather his people again together, and receive them unto mercy, or loving commitment. As he promised in the law, will shortly have mercy, or compassion upon us, and gather us together out of every land under heaven unto the holy place. For he has delivered us out of great troubles, and has purified the place. 2 Maccabees 6:12. Now I beseech those that read this book, that they be not discouraged for these calamities, but that they judge those punishments not to be for our destruction, but for a chastening of our nation. For it is a token of his great goodness, when wicked doers are not suffered any long time, but forthwith punished. For not as with other nations, whom Yahweh patiently forbeareth to punish, till they become to the fullness of their sins, so dealeth he with us. Lest that, being come to the height of sin, afterwards he should take vengeance of us. And therefore he never withdraws his mercy, or loving commitment from us. And though he punish us with adversity, yet does he never forsake his people. 2 Maccabees 7:23. But doubtless the Creator of the world, who formed the generation of man, and found out the beginnings of all things, will also of his own mercy, or loving commitment, give you breath and life again, as you now regard not your own selves for his law's sake. 2 Maccabees 8:5. Now when Maccabeus and his company about him, he could not be withstood by the heathen, for the wrath of Yahweh was turned into mercy, or compassion. Verse 27. So when they had gathered their armor together and spoiled their enemies, they occupied themselves about the Sabbath, yielding exceeding praise and thanks to Yahweh, who had preserved them unto that day, which was the beginning of mercy, or loving commitment, distilling upon them. 3 Maccabees 6:2. O King, mighty in power, most high, almighty Elohim, who regulates the whole creation with your tender mercy, or loving commitment. You destroyed Pharaoh with his host of chariots, when that master of this same Egypt was uplifted with lawless hardihood and loud-sounding tongue. Shedding the beams of your mercy upon the race of Israel, you did overwhelm him with his proud army. And now, you who hates insolence, you who does abound in mercy, or loving commitment, you who are the protector of all things, appear quickly to those of the race of Israel, who are insulted by abhorred, lawless nations. You, who are all-powerful and almighty, O Eternal One, behold, have mercy, or loving commitment, upon us, who are being withdrawn from life, like traitors, by the unreasoning insolence of lawless men. The ruler, over all, did during this time manifest forth his mercy, or loving commitment, gloriously, and did deliver them all together unharmed. All the above verses in the Old Testament were from the words for grace and mercy in Hebrew. The favor, or grace, and mercy, or loving commitment, of Yahweh is attached to following his laws and commandments and walking in the way. This is amazing grace. This is a failing love. That you would take my place. That you would